All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, July 19th, 2014. It's moving day at the Open Championship, and it's been a wonderful couple of days at the at Royal Liverpool. If you're a fan of golf, it's given you everything that you've wanted, the big names on the leaderboard, and exciting golf, and links golf, and it's just been a tremendous couple of days. It's had something for everybody, to be honest with you, at Royal Hoylake, and couldn't be playing any different than it did last time they were there when Tiger scorched the field on what was a scorched track at Liverpool. But it's just been a wonderful couple of days. One of my favorite tournaments of the year. Back to my favorite 2 weeks of the summer, back to back with the Scottish and then the Open Championship. Just can't get enough of Lynx golf. Just wonderful way to play the game, and just wish we could play it more over here. My guest this week is going to be John Huggin. He writes for The Scotsman, Golf Digest, Golf World, and probably, to be honest with you, now I think about it, he's joined this program more times than I think anybody that I've called in, and with good reason. He's just one of the best people to talk to about golf and what's going on in the world and of golf. And so I can't think of anybody better to report from the Open Championship than John Huggin. Just a little business before we get going. Just a amateur tour. The Golf Week Amateur Tour in Metro New York is offering a mid-season membership special for $79. I play in this tour. It's a fun thing. It's something for everybody with the four or five different flights that they have, whether you're a 14 handicap or a 3 handicap. There's something for everybody. These 18-hole stroke play tournaments, and you get a handicap system and a USGA handicap, and they have skins and closest to the pin contest. So it's a lot of fun. If you can't be a professional amateur as they are on that tour, where you're playing in the USGA events and even the LIGA events, there's something for the rest of us, if you like. Just something to consider. You can find them at www.amateurgolftour.net. Number is 516-360-7368. And again, that website is amateurgolftour.net. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, John Huggin will be joining us from Royal Hoylake. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
Well, there's a fire. Okay, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by the veteran golf writer, one of the best golf writers I think out there, John Huggin, writes for The Scotsman, Golf Digest, Golf World. John, welcome to the program again.
Nice to be with you.
Great to have you. I thought, there's plenty to talk about at the Open itself, but with the passing of Bob Torrence, I thought maybe you could put it a little in perspective for us, especially for the casual listener over on this side of the pond who may not be as familiar with him.
Well, Bob is, he's probably most famous as the father of Sam, the former Ryder Cup captain. But Bob was an absolute legend in the part of the world where I come from. And he was on the same kind of level that Butch Harmon, David Ledbetter, guys like that would be in America. He was, as I say, a complete legend when it came to the swing coaching. I don't know too many people went to Bob for putting or chipping lessons, but I do know that every single player, whoever went to him for a lesson, hit the ball better at the end of it. He was a genius when it came to analysing swings. As I say, he's probably second most famous for, he was the man behind the swing that gave Padraig Harrington three major championship victories in a couple of years spell there. They were actually the perfect marriage, those two. I mean, Harrington went to Bob in the first place because he had everything that you needed to be a top-class player except the ball striking. Brilliant putter, short game, but didn't have the tee to green game to get himself in position to take advantage of those facts. And Bob gave him the things that he didn't have. And as I say, they were the perfect marriage. I mean, Bob's wife, June, used to say that Bob had found the perfect pupil in Padraig because Padraig would hit balls all day and all night, and Bob would stand there and watch him hit balls all day and night if necessary. And as I say, they were the perfect pair, and Bob, he's probably not as well known as he deserved to be, certainly in your part of the world, because if you think my accent is thick, Bob had an accent that was almost completely indecipherable for anyone who wasn't Scottish. In fact, when Sam was on the television programme This Is Your Life a few years ago, Bob was banned from talking on camera because they reckoned that no one outside Scotland would be able to understand what he said, and they were probably right. But he was a great man, and I knew him well, and I'll miss him. It was a sad day yesterday.
What was it about him that you found the most special?
Well, he was the world's number one Ben Hogan fan, to the point where he'd actually been to Fort Worth twice, you know, a few years ago now, when Hogan was alive, to sit down and talk with the great man. Mm-hmm. Ben Hogan loved Bob Torrens, which tells you everything you need to know about how much Bob knew about the game.
Yeah,
because I don't think, certainly by reputation, I don't think Mr. Hogan suffered fools gladly when it came to golf. And but he was able to talk the game and the swing and all the rest of it on an even keel with Bob. I mean, Bob knew as much about the golf swing as anybody else alive. Mm-hmm. And as I said, my one regret is that I never had a lesson, which that might have ended his career, actually, to giving me a lesson. But, he was just a great man. He really was.
What did he have a particular style? It seems like everybody today, obviously, I'm quite certain of it, that he wasn't in terms of the video and all that stuff. But did he have a particular modus operandi, if you will, into how he communicated the swing?
Well, he was certainly not one for video or TrackMan or any of that nonsense.
Right.
He would just roll his eyes. So he was very much old school when it came to the swing. He taught it from the ground up. He always used to say, it all starts on your feet. And another of his famous lines was, never stand too close to the ball, which is one I've applied recently as a little tip for people.
Right.
It's almost impossible to stand too close to the ball. Certainly in Bob's mind it was.
Right.
But as I say, he didn't fit any. I can't sit here and tell you, you know, the philosophy or the system that Bob taught, because he taught the individuals. He taught every player that came got a different lesson. Mm-hmm. And a different way of doing it, and that was his genius. I mean, if you looked at the range of players who went to him over the years, I mean, you wouldn't see two swings the same.
Yep.
And I think that's to his enormous credit. He didn't. He taught the individual. He didn't teach a method.
Too much of that carbon copy kind of stuff in a game where you can't just watch a video of Ernie Els and try and copy that swing. You know, a swing is almost to a certain extent a fingerprint. Everybody's has its own, you know?
Well, that's right. I mean, and call me naive. I mean, I think that, you know, the teaching of the golf swing at the top level has become so scientific now. It's all by numbers and, as you say, TrackMan and all the rest of it. And I can understand it for the top players who are more than likely to make, you know, a succession of swings that are, you know, almost identical. But for your average 15 handicapper, I mean, I'm not sure how useful that is when he's standing over the ball not knowing what swing he's going to make or how far he's going to hit the ball. So, and, you know, that'll be different the next swing and the swing after that. So I'm not sure how much science can be applied to the higher handicapper player, but it certainly works logically would work for the top professional.
Yeah, absolutely. And makes sense that the top professionals would need that kind of down to the, you know, to the nth degree to trying to get that edge or to you know get more information. It's just such a tight business up to, in that realm, in that top 1%, if you will.
It's harder to separate yourself now at that level. It's harder now than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
The technology. Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to our first break here. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over 2 decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on Open Championship Saturday. Joined by John Huggin, who writes for The Scotsman, Golf Digest, Golf World, and other fine publications around the world that have to do with golf, and just one of my favorites. John, you know, this championship has something for everybody, but I thought maybe we could start with the story of John Singleton. What an amazing story that this local product out of Liverpool here. I thought he did himself really proud this first few days. And, you know, what are your thoughts on him?
Well, it's always a terrific story when you get, you know, I mean, he's a factory worker, for goodness sake. I mean, it doesn't get any better or more romantic than that when it comes to the Open. And that's actually one of my regrets, is that as the championship has developed and they've changed the qualifying system more and more, it's less and less likely that a John Singleton is going to pop up. I mean, it's always great when it does, but it's almost the fact that he is such a novelty now is indicative of the fact that it's difficult for somebody like him to make his way into the championship. I think, I'd rather go back to the days where there was more spots for the local qualifying, you know, on the Monday evening before the championship starts on the Thursday. It was, in my younger days, I can remember watching some of the playoffs late on the Monday night. You know, you'd have about 7 or 8 guys going for 2 spots, and it's almost dark, and they're all playing together, and it was great entertainment if you weren't involved. But and that's kind of been lost a little bit these days, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I guess the business of it going around the world sort of, you know, golf always seems to have these stories, and to your point, becoming less and less. But, you know, with all these spots going to, you know, around the world, Asia or wherever it may be, it does make it difficult for a John Singleton to emerge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the round the world part of it. I think, you know, the Open has always been the most international of the majors.
Right.
But I do think that the fact that the RNA had to go to the world rankings for so many players at the end of the qualifying period kind of indicated that it wasn't quite working properly. I mean, I would have liked to see some of those spots, as I said there, go to the local qualifying rather than to the guy who's number 68 in the world or whatever, you know.
Right.
There should be there's a balance, obviously, but I'm not sure they've got it quite right just yet.
Right, right. So put a little in perspective your thoughts on Rory McIlroy, just his his performance to this point. It seemed like before the championship, it was all about what are you going to do on Friday, not necessarily on Thursday. He seemed to have been equal to the task and then some, obviously. You know, your thoughts on him and what he's done to this point?
Well, I mean, are so good. I mean, there's a long way to go, obviously. I think they're just about reaching the turn now on the third day. So,
yeah,
27 holes to go. There's a lot can happen in 27 holes on a links. There's this much rough and a wee bit of wind flying about. So, but, you know, as you say, he's terrific to watch. He's the number one entertainment, you know, in golf, I think, when he's at the top of his game. And his best right now is the best. I mean, if everyone plays their best, Rory wins.
Right.
And when he does play as well as he's done the first 2 days, I mean, he's capable of completely running away from the field. I mean, he's done it twice already in major championships. He's won two of them by 8 shots. I do think he's got something to prove here this week, though, because he's won, we were nitpicking here, we're talking about a guy who's won 2 majors by 8, but he won them both. He won on the same kind of golf course, big, long golf courses that were soft, which plays into his hands when he's driving well, because, I mean, he's a magnificent driver of the ball. That's where he kind of, unusually these days, can separate himself a little bit. But he's never won on a bouncy links in changeable conditions. And even last week in Aberdeen, he threw in the second round 78 when, you know, we least expected it on the Friday. So this week he's got that hurdle. He's overcame that hurdle yesterday at the 66 on the Friday, which stopped us all wondering about what he was getting up to on Thursday nights for the last few months. But he's over that hurdle, and now he's got to get to the finish without having the daft 18 holes or even the 9 holes that he's thrown in too often over the last few months.
Yeah. He's just a remarkable talent, obviously, but I just love watching him drive the ball. I know, like, Adam Scott has a beautiful swing and every technically sound and whatnot, but when Rory's swinging it and swinging it with confidence, I think he's got the edge on him. I just think the way he free wills it, it's a beautiful sight when he's swinging that club like that.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, Adam Scott and Justin Rose is another one. It's technically very sound, obviously, but it does look a little bit like golf by numbers.
Yeah.
Certainly comparison to Rory, where, I mean, he looks completely natural. I mean, you watch him do it and you think, oh, it's like else used to be here. Excuse me, still is. You watch Ernie swing the club and you watch Rory swing the club now and you think, oh, I could do that. And of course you can't. But it looks so easy because they make it look so easy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just a curious question. Rory McIlroy, to this point in his career, has he had more of a Phil Mickelson career, or more of a Tiger? Would you, you know, obviously I'm not going to say compare majors and dominance, but I'm just, do you feel, if you put him in one camp or the other, or do you think he's a combination of both in terms of...
He's certainly more Phil temperamentally than he is Tiger. I mean, I don't think Rory, he's closest friend on the European Tour is Shane Lowry, the Irish golfer. I mean, he just laughs when, you know, people ask him about Rory and the word consistency comes up. I mean, Rory's never been consistent. You know, he's always going to be a bit in and out.
Right.
There's always going to be periods in his career where we're going to be wondering what's wrong with him.
Right.
And then he'll burst back and play fantastic and blow everybody away. But so I think we can expect more of Phil-like, you know, up and down than we can expect the total dominance that Tiger had. I mean, I think it's almost ridiculous to compare anybody with Tiger at his peak. I mean, you know,
right,
with the exception of Jack Nicklaus, which is how most sentences start with these things. You know, Tiger Woods at his peak was incomparable, I think. I mean, it'll be a very, very long time before we see anybody dominate the game or any game the way that he did. And I think to compare Rory with him is slightly unfair. I think he's, as you pointed out, I think he's more comparable with Phil right now than he is Tiger. I think he'll win more majors than Phil, but he's certainly a similar kind of player, more so than Tiger.
Yeah. I think the only comparison, I think, if you put him in the Tiger, if you will, camp, it's just that when he's playing so well, his talent seems to be, you know, not to the levels, obviously, but his just talent seems to really separate himself. There's a pretty sizable gap between when Rory's at his best to everybody else.
Well, that's right. I mean, and 3 or 4 times a year, typically, he's going to play at that level. and we're going to think, well, how can he ever lose? But he doesn't do it every week, obviously.
Right.
So, and that's the difference. I mean, Tiger's, I mean, you should never, ever underestimate the level of excellence that Tiger had in the, you know, around the 2 years before and two or three years after the turn of the century. I mean, it was ridiculous how good Tiger was at that point, and absolutely no chance of anybody beating him. I mean, you think back to Pebble Beach in 2000, I mean, that I think I'll go to my deathbed thinking that was the best performance I've ever seen from any golfer ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. When you look at, you know what, actually, I'm going to go to one more break, and then this way I can just finish out with you. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is writer John Huggin. He writes for The Scotsman, Golf Digest, Golf World. John is at Royal Liverpool for the Open Championship. John, when you look at the leaderboard, and clearly McIlroy at this point has a three shot lead over a couple of players, but unlike what it says in his rearview mirror, the objects do appear and are bigger than they appear. It seems like there is a pack following him, and the scoring conditions, it seems as if ready to pounce on and put all the pressure on him. It seems like he might be up against it today a little bit.
Well, as it turned out, the weather has been, you know, close to perfect for golf. I mean, the thunder and lightning hasn't materialized. It's rained a bit off and on, but nothing too excessive.
Mm-hmm.
And the course has softened up a little bit, and there's been hardly wind. I mean, that to me is absolutely perfect scoring conditions, particularly for guys at this level. I mean, as I said to you earlier, you don't need sunshine for golf, because if we did, I'm sure the Scots wouldn't have invented it. So it's an overrated aspect of golf, the sunshine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from a entertainment standpoint, I mean, I think, you know, nobody, I think casual, or I should say the hardcore golfers such as ourselves, you know, we enjoyed a Keimer clinic that he did at Pinehurst. But I think what's nice about this, the scoring conditions at this point in the championship, is it really, it puts the pressure on McIlroy. One, forces him to prove that he is what, if he's going to go on to go on and do what he's going to do, he's going to really have to earn it. And it just makes for some exciting storylines as the leaderboard just continues to, you know, flip, like if you were waiting for a train and the numbers just keep flipping, you're waiting to find out what track. It's been amazing.
That's right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The thing is, the low score, because of the conditions I just described, the really low score is out there for somebody playing really well, and that makes it harder for Rory, because he can't just, in more difficult conditions, he would be able to just kind of play along, to the middle of the green, and par, 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 it might get the job done. But par, par, par today might see him lose his four-shot lead, and maybe even more than that. So it does make it harder if the conditions are easier for the leader. I'm actually rooting for Ricky Fowler, the young American. He played in the Scottish Open last week at Royal Aberdeen, and impressed everybody by his willingness to embrace the vagaries of links golf and try different shots and all the rest of it. I mean, he was really enthusiastic about the whole thing. I mean, he's done well in our Open before over here. 3 years ago, he was well up when Darren Clark won.
Mm-hmm.
And the contrast between him and, without naming any names, some of the other younger players from both sides of the Atlantic, who were basically clueless in the limited conditions that prevailed last week. I thought it was to his enormous credit. So I'm a Ricky Fowler fan this week.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I'm a fan as well, and I think you know it shouldn't be. It should be understood. And I think there's a connection that you know Ricky Fowler grew up with a teacher, and who passed away. You know, in the last year, maybe two, before he went to Harmon. An old school, I guess, a Bob Torrance type of guy, will, where they were on like a sort of tin cup kind of driving range, and they just taught him how to hit shots, and I think there's a connection there to somebody who embraces link shots to the level of creativity in which you learn to play the game.
Well, there's not nearly enough of that at the top level of the game now, and that's not necessarily a criticism of the players, because I think they've got the, it'd be silly to argue they don't have the talent level to produce the shots that are required. But the thing is, in modern professional golf these days, you hardly ever need them.
Yep.
So they don't use them and they don't learn them, and they're not comfortable when they are asked to play them, too many of the players. And I think that's a great shame. I think the lack of variety in the setup of golf courses for the top events is one of the less attractive aspects of the game in the 21st century, to be honest.
Yeah. Is there anybody who's surprised you to this point, you know, either way, both good and bad?
It's hard to say because it's such a huge pack right behind him. Actually, the Schwartzel, the South African, I mean, I know he's won the Masters.
Yeah.
But he's never really looked comfortable in this kind of golf before, but he's knocking along quite nicely this week, and the sidekick, Louis Oosthuizen, who I'm a big fan of his. I think he's got the best swing in golf, really, certainly aesthetically.
Yeah.
But Schwartzel's the one. I mean, if you had to pick one out, that was a mild surprise. And to see, you know, he's obviously a top class player, but
right. He's
shown nothing in these things before. And good on him if he's getting his head round, which is often the hardest part for these guys. It's not so much the physical stuff, even it's the mental aspect of it. They've got to be accepting of the bad bounces and all the rest of it that comes with it. I mean, the fairness aspect of golf is out the window on these courses to an extent.
Yeah.
Although I would like to say that somebody described the course as perfect the other day, which kind of disappointed me because they're not supposed to be perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, you know, and I know, and everybody else knows how good these guys are if you give them a nice flat lie with the ball sitting up. But I want to see how good they are when the ball's and a little downslope and in a little hole and, you know, all the rest of it, and they've got to invent something.
Yeah.
I think that should be more of a bigger part of the challenge these days than it is.
Yeah, Lynx golf, if anything, is like, it's going to be described as perfect, as maybe perfect in its imperfections, and that's that brings out the fun and the creativity of the game. We only got 30 seconds left, but I would say, for me, it would be Darren Clark. Just nice to see him up there. He's obviously very capable, an Open Championship winner, but hasn't shown the form since he's dropped he's dropped a lot of weight, but it's nice to see his name up on the leaderboard. I'm not sure he'll threaten at all, but it's nice to see him there as well.
That's right. I mean, there's certainly nobody in the field knows more about linked golf than Darren. I mean, he lives in Port Rush, so he gets a steady diet of proper linked golf when he's at home, that's for sure.
Absolutely. John, thank you very much. I can't think of anybody better to report from the Open Championship and one and two to put a little perspective on the passing of Bob Torrance, legendary instructor, especially on that side of the pond. Thank you again, and always a pleasure to have you on.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
Take care, John.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right, that was John Huggin, writer for the Scotsman, Golf Digest, Golf World. Just a wealth of knowledge in the game of golf, and certainly Lynx golf, that's for sure. Just a pleasure to have him on, straight shooting writer, and just a guy you want to talk to about Lynx golf on Open Championship weekend. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me. Hopefully you're on your way to the golf course, or at least planning to head there. Enjoy the Open Championship, and we'll see you next week.